Hey, welcome along to the Big Red Bench, Sean Cork's Go Times, Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next hour, bringing you all of the latest sporting action from around the Rebel County and further afield. Firstly, rugby players, this is your chance to win €10,000 for your rugby club. Join the Bank of Ireland Never Stop Competing Challenge in Thomond Park on November the 30th. Round up two teammates and compete in the ultimate catching competition with €10,000. On the line for your rugby club. Everybody who takes part gets a free ticket to Munster versus the Emirates Lions match. And what are you waiting for? Don't miss out. Sign up now at neverstopcompetingchallenge.ie. That's neverstopcompetingchallenge.ie or contact your local rugby club. Sticking with the rugby here now. Well, unfortunately, I guess. We surely all know, of course, by now about Ireland's loss to the All Blacks in the Aviva Stadium last night. Well, I managed to get myself into the post-match presser to hear from head coach Andy Farrell, as well as captain Caelan Doris.
Andy, can you just sum up your disappointment tonight?
Disappointed. I think it's easily summed up with the mood of the dressing room, really. Pretty sombre, as you would expect. The lads are gutted. We're all gutted together. I thought we'd prep well, train well. I thought we was excited about the game, and we was. And we didn't manage to put our game out on the field. Now, obviously, the opposition have a big say in that. But I thought we compounded too many errors and almost pressed ourselves a little bit at times. And the energy wasn't, or the accuracy wasn't. What was needed to win a big test match like that.
And Caelan, when Ireland got themselves in front in the second half, how disappointed were you that you couldn't see the game out after that?
Yeah, happy with the start of the second half. That was kind of the message at half time, was that we felt we hadn't really fired a shot, and we got momentum back early on in the second half, and the message was very much stay on that, stay with it. But their quality side, obviously, when they came back, our discipline gave them entry and territory and possession, and they came back into it in the second half.
And just how hungry will this make you now to improve, Andy, do you think, after losing what's been an unbelievable record here at home?
Yeah, it's a funny old feeling, because we don't tend to have it too much in that dressing room, but it is what it is. That's life, you know. Congratulations to New Zealand. And we move on. We have to do. We have to find the solutions as soon as we possibly can, because we've got a hungry side in Argentina who's playing some really good rugby at this moment in time. So we need to get back on the horse and start it all over again, don't we?
Andy, how frustrating was the penalty count, and particularly in the kind of few minutes after you scored your try, when you gave away a couple in quick succession, which kind of lost a bit of momentum?
We'll get a few answers in regards to clarification of a few of them, but it doesn't really matter whether it was wrong or right, or we still shouldn't have suppressed ourselves a little bit, you know. It's not right to try and be desperate chasing your tail when you've made an error, whether it be a penalty or a drop ball, and then compound that error with another error, and all of a sudden field position's completely gone, and you know, points come on the back of that, and we did that a number of times, you know. So we need to fix up our mentality as far as that's concerned, you know, getting back to neutral and getting after the ball back the way that we want it. We became a little bit too desperate, and on the back of that, the energy wasn't what was needed, or the accuracy, both of them, obviously.
Caelan, was there a lot of the energy taken out of that first half in particular? Because I noticed at halftime the tackle count was absolutely massive in Ireland's favour. Did that sap any energy as regards the second half and the team's performance out there today?
I felt pretty good at halftime. I think we back our fitness, back the way we train. Had 10 very good days with a few hard sessions in there over in Portugal. It is obviously pretty taxing defending against a team like that, with the quality of their attack, but I don't think it was too much of a factor.
Was there a bit of frustration, Andy, with Nick Berry's performance this evening?
We get our own house in order first, and that's, you know, there's no excuses for us. You can talk about all sorts of stuff, rustiness or game time, there's no excuse. It is what it is. The opposition, long story short, deserve to win. I mean, as far as the penalty count or whatever, I actually thought the game was stop-start, you know. It was a bit scrappy. There's a lot of errors because of the weather, a little bit that came down, but it was a slow enough game at time, and we needed to be in charge of looking after our own energy, and we didn't do that well enough.
What were the positives from your point of view?
Staying in the fight, certainly after half time, but the turning point was the crucial penalty, wasn't it, from the scrum, and they kicked the goal, and obviously it started going in their favour, and we compounded therefore after, you know. So
let's also hear now from Finlay Beelam.
Finlay, what were the conversations like inside the change room after that game?
Yeah, everyone's obviously bitterly disappointed. But look, there's still three games to go in this series, and dust ourselves off, not feeling sorry for ourselves. We'll analyse it properly, and then another big test next week, so back on the horse.
How's the body doing? Like 79 and 30 seconds, I would say, is probably what you played today.
Yeah, it was a tough game physically. I was blown a little bit there at the end, but it was tough.
How long do you reckon you were sitting on the bench before you had the call to come back?
I got a mouthful or so of water, and then unfortunately for Tom, he went down, and I knew I was back on, so tried to get my head around that. And yeah,
it's funny for me, how confident are you in 7 days time you can put that behind you and get back out there and get away?
Oh yeah, confident, you know, like we have world class coaches, world class players, and want to analyse it properly and see where went wrong and things we can improve on, and I'm sure knowing the group that we'll fix a lot of that.
Amy, is there areas in particular now that sort of come to mind that you just felt just didn't go right for you tonight?
Yeah, a few areas like discipline and a few things in the tackle and stuff like that, but it's hard to remember everything from the game now. We'll look back at it and analyse it and fix it for next week.
In terms of the physicality of the All Blacks, obviously you're used to playing them in high test level games. Where does that rank, physicality level, of them compared to other nations?
Yeah, you look, they're right up there. They're a world class team, and they have some unbelievable individuals, and every time you play them, you know it's going to be an absolute war, and tonight was definitely a war again, which was they were the better team of the night, and congratulations to them.
Was it always planned to walk towards the Haka tonight?
There was a little plan, to take a step or two forward.
What's the reason for that?
I suppose just to show that we were up for the challenge and to respect them and,
And where do you think the balance lies in terms of New Zealand frustrating you tonight and also errors on your own behalf, the team's behalf, not allowing you to get a foot on you?
Yeah, look, they were really good in terms of rack pressure, and we couldn't get into our flow attack wise. And like I said, we'll analyse all that and look to fix it next week. Argentina will be an incredibly tough test match again Friday week. So
it was noticeable that there was a bit of a huddle after the Will Jordan try. Can you share with us what the messaging was at that moment?
Look, we all just do two breaths to get back to neutral and then listen to the key playmakers at that time and say what the next play is or the next thing that we're onto. Everyone gets back to neutral and onto the next shop.
What was the dressing room like afterwards? Andy said it was pretty somber. Who let the messaging and who spoke the best or
messaged
home best?
It was disappointed dressing room. Obviously it's always tough to lose at home, and we got into a huddle and just said, look, we're going to, Solcombe, we'll just get on with it and learn from the mistakes we made, and we have an incredibly tough test match next Friday, and we'll look to fix the stuff where we tidy up the stuff that we could have been better at tonight.
That's all we have from the Irish camp, but I also stuck around to hear from All Black manager Scott Robertson, as well as All Black captain Scott Barrett. Some interesting stuff in here, especially around the minor scrap on the field, or schmozzle, whatever way you want to call it. Enjoy.
in the show and reactions there. Hi, how are you doing after that?
I'm really pleased. I'm pleased because we showed so much courage and care and both sides of the ball, and just a classic test match, and the boys, you know, bounced back some bit of adversity there, and just before and after half time, and I'm really pleased and stoked to get a result like that.
Yeah, particularly in that last BT, which has always been a point that you've been trying to work on this year, showing some composure. What did you say at half-time when you were leading into that last half?
I keep doing what we did in the first half. Just make sure that you know, we can hold the ball and build some pressure. Keep trusting your skill sets. And, you know, we've got a group of guys that come on off the bench now and actually make an impact into the game. And it's good to bring some experienced players on and do their job.
Scott, what was it like out there with that crowd, the noise?
Yeah, it was an amazing atmosphere. You know, certainly a vocal, local Irish crowd, and it was great. Actually, it was quite pleasing late in the game to, I guess, yeah, dampen them down a wee bit. But we love playing up here in these amazing stadiums.
A bit of niggle though at the first half, so you get a little bit close to one of the Irish lots. What do you say to them?
I don't usually take exception, but I saw something that was, I guess below the line for me, and I had to make a point of, it's not tonight you're targeting our 10 like that, so,
Did you see a lot of below the line stuff in that game,
didn't you? No, I don't think so. I think they play hard, they're a great team. Physical team and great with ball in hand. It was just the one moment there.
Razor, can you talk about Asafa Moore and Damien McKenzie, who in different circumstances might not have started tonight? These shots tonight.
Yeah, look, Asafa's played every game this year for us, and you know, the same as D-Mac, you play him 7 games in a row at the start of the year, get a game like this one at the end of the year. You know, you've got to give guys time. Give them opportunity, trust them, and the most important thing, they trusted themselves and their skill set. For Safo, that last line out in our side of the 22 just absolutely nailed it. You know, after missing the not straight in the first half, he could have probably questioned himself, but he didn't. And D-Mac was mercurial as normal. You know, he trusted his instinct, and it was a hell of a night for him. Great off the boot. Really pleased.
And just, after half-time, Ireland's score go ahead. Game could have looked a bit differently, but the way that the All Blacks managed to get their heads back in the game, we just, how pleased were you with that?
Yeah, some really incredible defensive sets, and when we did take the opportunity, we put some made them make some tackles, and, you know, their discipline went, and we managed to get inside their half and put a little bit of pressure, and, you know, that led to some points, so we can play from in front.
Andrew, would you say that's your most astute game management that you put together across 80 minutes this year?
Yeah, look, as I've said before, every game we could have won this year, and it was we just got to a couple of moments where we'd still be better too, Greg. but we there's a couple of key moments where we got the ball hit the ground, put pressure on their line-out, got a couple of scrum penalties that swung the momentum back our way, which sometimes have gone the other way.
The breakdowns looked a bit like carnage in that, particularly in that first half. What was sort of your interpretation of what was happening there in terms of the competition?
Yeah, they were really targeting us, particularly on our ball. At times our body height was a little bit high and they were able to disrupt and, you know, give Cortez some messy ball. So, I guess that's on us to, that's probably the first thing to address next week. Yeah.
Razor, just for you, when you're halfbacks having a pretty tired time at the breakdown, how do you make that sort of call between giving him time to find his feet and pulling the trigger and making a change?
I think it was 49th minute that brought Cam on. You know, look, he was great last week and it was a good little combo. He he plays with the ball he gets, Cortez, and he's learning quickly what his football's all around, and we've got experience for him. And but Cam's come straight up to the international level really quickly, and he's really classy. Yeah.
Cam's, I mean, 3 or 4 games back after a pretty serious injury. How good can he get in that jersey?
Yeah, really good. he's got all the attributes. He works really hard. Look, we're pleased to bring, you know, someone like Cortez through and himself, and you know, yeah, we've got some great competition at halfbacks. Yeah.
Scott, can you clarify the one incident you said was below the line, and did you alert any of the officials about it?
Yeah, I think I was getting up from a ruck, and I just, from where I saw it, it looked like Damien was on the ground, and I think Joe, you know, cleaned him up. So, yeah, from where I saw it, it looked like it was around his head, and whether it was or not, I'm not too sure. I guess I took exception to that in that moment. It may not have been, but, I'm not too sure.
Did you clean him up with a gouging sense or a boxing sense or a...
It just looked like a ruck. He was on the ground from where I saw it, and it looked like a bit of a shoulder to a man on the ground who was our 10. So, he could. Yeah.
It's like giving evidence, isn't it?
Scott, Rico Ioane led the hack tonight. I'm just interested to see who made that decision, and do you think it gave you a psychological edge even before a ball was kicked?
Yeah, I think we've got a number of guys within the squad that can lead the hucker, and it was Reeks's first opportunity. And, you know, we love it, and we've certainly seen the English, they walked forward, and the Irish did that as well. When I think you can just see the atmosphere of the crowd really getting behind it, and it just, you know, sets the tone for what's installed the 80 minutes following, yeah.
And when a team does walk forward, do you prefer that, or do you like it when they...
I guess it's them saying they're up for the challenge, which is great, which is what Test match footies are about, especially up here in the north, playing the best teams at home.
Brendan.
Last question.
When you and Mike had the ball, they had a lot of big collisions that kind of got the crowd into it. Did you still feel confident in your ability to kind of work around that? It seemed like even with those big moments, you were still able to make any inroads. Sorry, I don't want you to raise
the meeting. Yeah, I think on the field, like the metres gained that we got, you know, the stats are coming out that we, you know, we're getting a roll on, and we've got to go forward and put pressure on them. I think that was really, really pleasing. And then we'd finish, you know, with another pressure kick or stay on top of them or get in their half. So how we finished our positions was great. Tidy line out, awesome scrum, so all the key things backed up by so good defence, just to, like I said at the start, of classic football, test backs footy.
Was this something you identified before the game that helped you go after those metres total?
Well, every test sort of comes down to how you carry a ball, but and so it just worked out that way that we got some good roll-ons. Thank you.
That is it for the rugby. Manchester City lead Brighton 1-0 in the Premier League. Alan Lewis has the latest from the Amex.
It's Brighton 0, Manchester City 1. It's that man again, Erling Haaland, with the goal played through by Kovacic. He brushed off the attention of two defenders. His first shot was brilliantly saved by Verbruggen, but it came back to Haaland, and he didn't make any mistake with the second effort. It's Brighton 0, Manchester City 1.
To a bit of GAA now, when the Scottish Gold football finals took place during the week, where schools from all around Cork take part in a Graded Cup style competition. To talk to me about it all, I caught up with Seán Scoil, PRO, Damien Irwin. Enjoy. We're delighted to be joined here by Damien Irwin, the PRO of Seán Scoil here in Cork. Damien, what a fantastic organisation. What do you hope to get, I guess, out of the Seán Scoil games last weekend, this week coming?
Well, Dan, it's the culmination really of 2 months of football for over 60 teams, you know, so 31 finals coming up in boys and girls football. And there's, you know, between maybe 15 and 30 players on each panel. So it's you know, over, you know, about 1,400 kids will tug out in Parque Kyiv in the next week, and they'll have a fantastic time, you know, bus trip up to the park, the excitement, there'll be bus loads of supporters come to watch them, their classmates and younger and older kids, kind of passing on the culture and passing on the feeling for this, something to aim for. And for a lot of kids in schools, particularly in fifth and sixth, and in some cases fourth, this is the pinnacle for them, you know, or just what they've dreamed about for a few years, getting to play in Parque Kyiv in a final with their friends, you know, that's what I think is coming here, mm-hmm. and that's the excitement that it generates, really, and you know, it's wonderful.
What do you think the highlight is generally for the kids playing in these matches?
Well, I'd say that the highlight is the anticipation of the day. They'll be talking about it and sorting out team photos and all that for a few weeks in advance, sending those on to the ski office, and then the bus journey in, blowing the horn, and then when it comes to talking out inside in the park, you know, the park is an amazing stadium. You know, it's the best day in Ireland as far as I'm concerned, and it's impressive to prepare in the park, the dressing rooms, get out onto the field then, and a big part of it is the waving to the crowd. So, you know, if you've 30 on the panel, they all get their name called out over the tannoy, and every child gets a cheer. That's a thrilling thing. I think it's possibly unique to Ski na Scoil. I'm not sure does any other group do this. It's a great moment, and then of course when the game starts, they're generally very close games, so you know it's exciting right up to the end. And even though, you know, like somebody will lose at the end, I suppose in schools we always say, look, getting to the final is the achievement, that's the main thing. If you can manage to do it, and winning it then is just the bonus on top, you know. So it's a wonderful festival of football, really, you know. It's unbelievable to see it. There's an electricity around the field for young and old when you're there, and in the stands you have parents of all the players, you know, like shouting on their children, willing them on, and so on. You have grandparents, you have uncles and aunts, and all sorts. You know, so it's brilliant from every kind of point of view, really.
I suppose it's actually good for a good development point for Cork's GAA point of view as well. Getting these kids playing in Parky Key from a young age, you know, hopefully they can dream of playing inter-county someday. And there's probably a bit of a, when you're 12 years old, I'm sure it does feel like it's an All Ireland final to a certain degree, with the team photos and name getting called out the tannoy, etc.
Yeah, because if you're 11, 12, 13, then it is the All-Ireland final for you. And for at that period of your life. And I have no doubt that, you know, I suppose dreams are forged here as well. You know, you have to have a dream, you know, to take your point, if you're going to go on and play inter-county, which is a very difficult thing to do for anybody, you know, so hard to do it. But very often dreams are forged at club level, or in a school sense, at Ski na Scoil level, when they see the excitement generated around it. It you know, it's the start of a journey maybe for them. Hopefully that'll be the case again for girls and boys. You know, it's lots of great girl footballers who are playing for Cork now, and Camogie players came through Ski na Scoil, and lots of, you know, current Cork hurlers and footballers came through Ski na Scoil as well, you know. So it has happened before many, many times, like you said.
Yeah, even from my own perspective, I remember we had a few good Watergrass Hill teams back in the day. We were lucky enough to be in a few finals.
You had a wonderful coach, hadn't you?
It was Pat O'Brien.
Pat O'Brien, yeah, Pat O'Brien. I know Pat well. And before him, Eamon Ryan, two guys who really pushed the GAA message. And I think that, I suppose that's the thing as well, that in order for teams to get to Ski na Scoil level, there's a group of people, or at least one in a school, who's putting in lots of time trying to mould the players and encourage them during lunchtimes, or sometimes in the morning and very often in the evening. And without those people, there is no Ski na Scoil, Dan, and there is no finals either, because it's very hard to get to final as well, you know. And lots of good teams that played this year aren't actually ending up in the final. They were beaten in a semi-final or in a group game. So I mean, you remember from your own days out clearly, you know, as well. It's a kind of unique experience, isn't it?
It is. No, it's absolutely fantastic. And it does kind of come back to that feeling like it's an all-earned. And it's mad how it kind of came full circle in a way, I guess, because a lot of those guys I played in the national school team with, they're lining out for Watergrass Hill tomorrow in the Premier Intermediate Hurling Championship final.
So, they're of course, yeah.
You know, it's a good, well, maybe not springboard for them, but you know, it's something that's certainly good development along the way for everyone involved.
It's wonderful, yeah, yeah. And like Watergrass Hill, like tomorrow they're in the final against Carrigaline. It's going to be a great game. One of those teams will end up in senior next year. That's an amazing achievement for whoever gets there. And I'd say I don't know how many of those players tomorrow played in Skeena Skull. Well, I'd say most of them played in Skeena Skull competitions. I don't know how many of them played in finals, but say quite a sprinkling, I'd say, would be the answer.
I'd imagine so. I remember a lot of those guys even playing on the team. Adam Murphy and Aaron Spriggs were two teammates anyway that spring to mind. Damien from PRO standpoint, what's your own highlight of the Skeena Skull in general?
Well, I think like the Skeena Skull, I suppose people mightn't realise this, but the Skeena Skull, it goes on for practically every school month of the year. Like so the football and ladies football, I guess our girls football and the camogie and hurling are the bits that everybody knows about. So it's the football in the autumn, and then you have the spring and summer period for the hurling and camogie. But you know, there's a whole lot of other events on as well. There's a brilliant indoor season going on in the winter time for third and fourth class. There's indoor football as well that's been reintroduced there recently. And actually, long before a child plays on the older Skeena Skull teams, they're representing their school in indoor, and they're as young as second class doing that. Mm-hmm. And there's a quiz there at Christmas time with hundreds of children in it, a sports quiz as well, that usually takes part in the Park Hotel there in Rochestown, and it's brilliant. Like, and that brings kids in who mightn't necessarily be playing much, but who are, it's a sporting quiz, but who are very interested in sports. It just brings in, and they wear their school jerseys on that day. So there's a whole heap of activities going on all the year round that kind of are very inclusive and very welcoming for young people, and kind of gives them a lovely taste of Gaelic life and Gaelic games and all that you can't, it's kind of invisible, but it's very, very important for them. So it kind of goes on from September right the way to June, really. There's something on every month.
The quiz should be something I'm looking at. Not very good at sport, but I try to act like I know something about it anyway.
Well, there you are. Could be your moment, Dan. Yeah.
I'll have to get involved. How long have you been involved in Skeena Skull, Damien? How did you get started?
I started teaching up the country for first few years of my teaching career in Galway and in Waterford. So I would have been involved up there in, it's called Cumann na mBan Scoil in those counties, you know. And then when I came to Cork in 1998 then, and I went to Clontarf School, where I'm currently still there. And I got stuck into it there, and I loved it. And we had great moments there. I was in Little Island School as well, in Clontarf School. We've had great moments, very exciting moments. And, you know, so many now, I suppose, over the years that, you know, I'm not going to start listening here, but what I would say is that it's a side of school life which is really exciting for the children, and a great moment for them. Even if you don't get to a final, the whole thing is brilliant. And, like, you can bring the panels, you can play as many children, and you should too, as many children as possible, you know, should play as often as possible. That's the key to it, I think. And so I suppose Skeena Skull allows you to do that. It allows you to bring in unlimited substitutions in games. There's no limit. You just bring in, you can put in as many as you want, which is a very, very important part of the ethos as well. So it's just been a great, it's a great organisation. And the Skia, like, the reason it's called Skia is Skia means shield. And like the shields for the hurling and the football for Ryanair, which is the first division of both, they're the oldest sporting shields in the country in any sport being given out. They're there well over 100 years now, nearly 120 years, I think. So there's no sporting competition that's still handing out a trophy as old as those two shields.
Wow.
So it has a long, long, long history.
I didn't know that
back
one.
To volunteers back in the early 1900s, volunteer primary teachers got together and decided this is worth passing on, this is really important. The GA was about 20 years old at the time, and they got it going, and I suppose from that small seed has grown an enormous organisation, you know.
Oh, that's some story, and I certainly didn't know that, and absolutely fantastic to know. Yeah. Now, do you have any busy week ahead of you, Damien? What's happening this week?
That is a busy week, yeah. Which you know, obviously to host an event like that with so many finals, there's an enormous volunteer effort going in from current serving teachers on the committee, and also retired teachers who are very happy to come back and steward at finals and help people. And I suppose in a sense, without the retired teachers, I don't think the thing could run properly with finals. There's just, it'd be too much required. So it's a combination of current teachers who are officers and committee members, combining with retired teachers, and so many of them that's what keeps it going there on the day, because you need people to cover, you know, the commentary, the videoing, the stewarding, the dressing room, you know, like the whole lot, really, you know. So it's a kind of a huge effort for that, you know, days that the finals are on. And you'll be hoping for good weather for the players, you know. Of course you can't control any of that stuff really, but you'll be hoping that, you know, they go out on a fairly good day and they have good memories of it, you know.
Well, Damien Irwin, thanks so much for joining us here on the Big Red Bench. Huge thanks, of course, to the volunteers as well who keep the show on the road, from the coaches in the schools to everyone in the Shkina school, and the parents driving everyone to the matches as well. It doesn't go unnoticed. Thanks so much, Damien.
Thanks Dan, thanks a million.
And the ref's whistle has gone for halftime here on the Big Red Bench. Stay with us for the second half, where Ger McCarthy will have all the latest LGFA action. Don't go anywhere. All right, welcome back to the Big Red Bench on Cork's Good Times Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next 25 minutes or so. O'Donovan Rossa will contest their second AIB Munster LGFA final in 2 years when the Skibbereen Club take on Limerick champion St Albans in Mallow on Sunday as part of a doubleheader with the provincial Serie A final between Comer Rangers of Waterford and Castle Island Desmonds of Kerry. Having claimed county, provincial and All-Ireland junior titles in 2023, O'Donovan Rossa are looking to maintain their successful streak following this year's Cork LGFA Intermediate County final win over Naive Avon. Now, ahead of Sunday's Munster decider, Ger McCarthy spoke to O'Donovan Rossa, Captain Trina Murphy and Coach Derek Tobin. We'll listen here first to his chat with Derek.
Here on the Big Red Bench, delighted to be joined by O'Donovan Rossa LGFA coach Derek Tobin ahead of this weekend's Munster LGFA Intermediate Championship Final between O'Donovan Rossa and St Albans of Limerick that takes place in Mallow GA grounds on Sunday with a 1 p.m. throw-in. Derek, you're very welcome to the bench. How are things?
Very good, Derek. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you with us. Easy one to start. How have preparations gone since that epic win over Scarta Glen in the semi-finals? How have you prepared for what is a second consecutive Munster final for you?
Good, sure, yeah. To know, in fairness, we got a bit of recovery in after the weekend and stuff, and we got back training last night. And like that, now we feel niggle dry, but nothing too serious, hopefully, so that everyone is good otherwise. In fairness, look, great to be so thankful for all this time of year.
It certainly is, and not something that you're unaccustomed to because of last year's fantastic run and win in the All-Ireland Junior A Championship final above in Dublin. You were playing football into the winter. Has that helped this year with the girls preparing for the Munster Championship?
Yeah, I think it definitely has. I suppose the experience of last year has been brilliant. Like, and you know, I suppose like even, you know, travelling to games and, you know, how logistically how everything works now and stuff is kind of second nature to, you know, to the girls at this stage, which is, you know, which is all a big help, definitely. You know, it's nothing new to us, like, basically. Which
yeah,
is great.
Yeah, like, I mean, the momentum that you've taken from last year, Derek, clearly winning a Munster, winning a county junior A Munster and an All-Ireland title is a fantastic achievement in anyone's history books. Did you anticipate that you'd take to the intermediate grade so well?
Look, it's hard to know because I suppose, look, we had played some of the teams in the league and, you know, over the last few years and stuff and kind of thing, we probably knew we wouldn't have been a million miles away, but look, when you obviously Niamh Bond were very serious outfit as well, kind of thing and stuff, and there were some other good teams in as well that had been involved in the intermediate for a long time. So, you know, it was kind of hard to know if you get the championship, you know, and when you leave the league here and there's difference, you're not kind of settled team and stuff. It's hard to know, kind of thing, but, like, you know, once we kind of got into the swing championship and got going, we kind of, fast, you know, we settled in nicely and I could win, you know, and dip along the way, all right, kind of thing, but once the girls kind of just, you know, once we got going right and everyone settled and got used to playing together, I think was a big thing again because, you know, there was girls away for a few weeks there and there was different things during the summer, so we hadn't got, you know, that just coming to the championship, we hadn't got that big burst of playing together as a group. So that once they kind of everyone settled into their roles and stuff, I think it kind of, you know, started looking very good from there on.
Yeah, like, you know this squad very well. You've come up from the Junior D, Junior C ranks. The backroom team, I know James Donovan is the manager, but yourself and the other members of this backroom team, you've been together quite a while now as well. And I imagine that helps as well in terms of continuity and preparation.
Oh, it does, definitely. Like, you know, I mean, like, you know, like, I'd say with two Jameses in, you know, James and Andy, Andrew, George and Jordan, Green is the FLO, and I think, look, everyone knows their role at this stage, and we've kind of been, you know, everyone brings a different thing to the table, so that it's great, like, to know that, you know, we all work well as humans as well, kind of thing, which is brilliant. And look, that kind of, you know, these things when you're involved in a happy camp as well, and, like, you know, that's a big thing, like.
And it certainly is a happy camp, and that was evident in the Munster semi-final victory over Kerry champion Scarta Glen, 4-9 to 3-11 in front of a huge crowd in Skibbereen only a couple of Saturdays ago. Derek, you were 1-4 to no score up very early in that game, and next thing you got hit in the face, 1-5 from Scarta Glen. You were in a serious, serious game. That was a day you had to dig deep, pardon the cliche. And, you know, I suppose the one thing about I would say to you about this O'Donovan Rossa panel, there's no out and out star player. Some days it's Ava O'Donovan that makes the score, some days it's Laura Manny, some days it's the back six, and some days it's a combination of the entire team. And that was the case against Scarta Glen and Fionnuala O'Driscoll then kicking the winning point. But how difficult was that, the toughest test? You've been on the sideline quite a lot with this group. Was that one of the toughest tests you've been involved in?
I definitely think it was, because, you know, like, we started incredibly well, like, you know, the first 8 or 9 minutes there, we were just absolutely hopping off the ground, like, and we probably, you know, I'd know just say we got out a little bit or whatever, that we just kind of left them back into. But look, in saying that, no, we didn't even back into, because, like, Scarta Glen were an absolutely serious team, like, you know, they were an absolutely brilliant team. And it was, you know, they kind of brought a different intensity, and we kind of had to stay at that level. We had to find a way to live at that level for the whole game. And I think that's why it was tit for tat between the two teams all the way through, like, kind of thing, like, you know. And I think it just showed the character, like, it was, you know, playing a slightly different style to what we're used to, you know, just the Kerry team playing different style and stuff. So the girls had to adapt a little bit and stuff as well, which I thought they'd done fierce well. And you know, I thought they showed great character again, just to, you know, to still want to keep going and still want to, you know, to win, like, which is brilliant.
It was brilliant. Another big day out for you now on Sunday at 1 o'clock in Mallow. Now, it's a ground and a pitch that you know well, Derek. I would imagine from a management point of view that that's a big bonus going into this Munster final, having played last year's Munster final and winning it there, the junior one, playing the intermediate grade one on Sunday. Does it help again for the players just with the muscle memory of knowing where you're going, the pitch, the surroundings? It's an advantage.
Oh, definitely, yeah, definitely is, because, I mean, look, I suppose as far as from logistics point of view, I suppose, you know, they're as close as what we are, nearly probably closer maybe, but, like, you know, I suppose, like, you kind of, when you're going some back somewhere you've done before, in the similar surroundings, you know, we know, you know, nearly what time to leave, the stops, the girls know nearly what, you know, for their food and everything to, it's all a help, because you kind of have your plan pre-rehearsed or, you know, pre-rehearsed already, kind of thing, I suppose, and, you know, what works, and, you know, obviously different players do different things, so that it all helps them along the way as well, kind of thing, like, you know, that they know what time, you know, to, what time we'll be leaving, what time we'll be there, and, you know, it's everything that they've actually done in a final-based scenario before, which is definitely a big help.
It certainly is. You take on St. Albans from Limerick and Mallow, 1 o'clock on Sunday. And just finally, Derek, the support that this group of players have gotten, not just this year, but last year and the years before it, the crowds that turned up in Skibbereen for that Munster semi-final against Scarta Glen, you'd rarely see it in a men's semi-final, let alone an LGFA one. It must be heartening for you and the backroom team with all the work that you're putting in to see that the girls are getting the appreciation locally and beyond Skibbereen for their achievements so far.
Oh, for definite. I mean, like, you know, and even in fairness, I think it's a great sign for LGFA in general, because there was actually a big Scarta Glen crowd down for the game as well the last day, which was a big thing, like, you know, but I'd like to know, in fairness, like, the town have got behind the girls, it's unreal, like, you know, the way people come in and it's constantly good real wishes and stuff, like, even, you know, the walk town there during the week and stuff there, and, like, to constantly, you know, talk about the games, and, you know, the hype from people is, you know, they really bought in behind the girls and stuff, and, like, I suppose that's credit to the girls, because they're just, you know, they're all faces that people know, kind of thing, I suppose, and can relate to as well, like, which is a big thing, and it's, you know, it's been brilliant, like, you know, it's, you know, the way everyone has kind of bought in behind them, and just the
the general goodwill and stuff has been phenomenal from the town, like, you know, and look, you know, so hopefully it'll keep going.
Indeed, we hope it keeps going at least another weekend. On Sunday in Mallow, with Throne at 1 p.m, the AIB Munster LGFA Intermediate Championship Final. St Albans from Limerick taking on O'Donovan Rossa from Skibbereen. Derek Tobin, the coach, congratulations on getting this far and good luck over the weekend, and we'll talk to you over in Mallow on Sunday.
Thanks, manager. Really appreciate it.
You're also caught up with Vice Captain Trina Murphy.
Here on the Big Red Bench, we're delighted to be joined by O'Donovan Rossa Vice Captain Trina Murphy, ahead of the Skibbereen Club's Munster LGFA Intermediate Championship Final, which takes place in Mallow on Sunday at 1 o'clock. Trina, you're very welcome to the bench. How are you?
Good, thanks, Jay. How are you?
I'm not too bad. These are exciting times once again for O'Donovan Rossa, because not alone after what you achieved in 2023, winning the Junior County Championship in Cork, winning the Munster Championship in Cork, and then winning the All-Ireland Junior Championship, you've taken to the intermediate grade pretty well, I think it's fair to say, winning the intermediate county this year by beating Eva Vaughan. And now, having come through a huge test against Carterglen, you find yourselves in a second successive Munster final. Is it hard to take that in when somebody says it back to you like that, Trina, what's been achieved by this group, not just over the last 24 months, but over the last 3 or 4 years?
Yeah, it's absolutely incredible, Jay. You know, I think it hasn't actually sunk it in, really. You know, we're kind of taking it game by game and looking back on it, like, when you do stop and think, it is absolutely phenomenal what we have achieved in the last few years. And, like, it's just, to be still playing football in November again is just absolutely amazing.
Yeah, it is. And, like, for a team like O'Donovan Rossa, when you win what you know, winning three major trophies like you did at the end of last year, you'd be forgiven for hitting the intermediate grade and maybe taking your time to find your feet. But there was none of that. You won all bar one of your group matches, won your semi-final, then you had a really tough test against a team you know very well, Eva Vaughan. The battling qualities, Trina, that this group has developed by winning an All-Ireland Junior, did that help you against Eva Vaughan? And did it help you against Carterglen the last day?
Definitely, I think so, yeah. You know, last year's success was absolutely amazing, and, you know, playing in so many championship games of such a high quality and such a high standard was absolutely amazing. And, you know, last year there were so many close games as well, that when it came down to it in the county final, you know, we won by a point, and again on Saturday we beat Carterglen by a point. I think our championship campaign last year and this year as well has really stood to us. You know, when we get into close games or when it gets tough, that we keep plugging on and we don't kind of freak out or panic, that it's, you know, it has stood to us, and that's really beneficial.
Yeah, you may not freak out, Trina, as the players, but I know your mentors and your manager and your supporters freak out a little bit, because you don't make it easy for yourself. As you said, you won this year's Intermediate County Final by a single point against Eva Vaughan. The last day in the Munster Intermediate Semi-Final in Skibbereen, in front of a huge crowd, you beat the Kerry champions Carterglen 4-9 to 3-11. But in that game, you got off to the best possible start. You were 1-4 to no score up, but next thing you were pegged back 1-5 to 1-4. Have you come up against an opponent as good as Carterglen in recent times? Because they really, really put it up to you, not just in that opening quarter, but certainly throughout that game.
Yeah, no, in fairness to Carterglen, they're an absolutely incredible team, and they really did put us up to us on Saturday. It was, talking to the girls after the game, it was probably one of the toughest games we've played so far. You know, it was such a physical game, it was such a high intensity game, and thankfully we got over the line in the end. You know, it could have gone either way, but thankfully we got there in the end.
He certainly did, as I said, winning that semi-final by 4-9 to 3-11. It set up this weekend's Munster LGFA Intermediate Championship Final in Mallow, doubleheader on Sunday at 1 o'clock, the throw-in in Mallow. O'Donovan Rossa taking on St Albans from Limerick. Now, I know you may not know much about your opponents, but from speaking to your manager in recent interviews, James O'Donovan, he may not have known too much about, you know, your provincial or even your All-Ireland opponents when those games come up. It's just all been a case of focusing on yourselves. Has that helped the group, that irrespective of who you're playing, and maybe you know a bit about them, maybe you don't, you just focus on what you do best, and it seems to be working?
Yeah, I think it's kind of exciting, you know, in the Munster campaign, both last year and this year, and last year the All-Ireland series, you're coming up against teams that you have never heard about before, maybe, or that you know nothing or very little about. It's kind of exciting to go out there and see what they've got. But like you said, we don't really dwell on the other team. It's kind of just focus on our own performance and what we do well and what we can do right to stop them, and then obviously go out and perform to the best of our ability on the day and see what they have to give as well.
Yeah, and you've certainly been doing that. The level of performance this year, not just in the Munster Championship, but in the Cork Intermediate Championship, I saw it myself at first hand. Just the level of consistency, that's not an easy thing to achieve when you've just come up from the Junior A grade. But what is it about this group? I mean, has much changed since last year, Trina, inside the dressing room and training? Or have you just kept going and doing what you did last year?
No, I don't think there's much change, really. You know, there's such a drive and determination within both the management and the group of girls. You know, at training, everyone's there early, they're wet, you know, ready to warm up and get going, and everyone gives it 100% at every training. So I think that's really important. That has really driven us on from last year. And I think, you know, everyone just wants to do well for each other and for themselves, but not alone. I think because we did so well last year and so many people have got behind us, I think everyone just wants to do well for the community as well if they don't want to do it for themselves. But no, I don't think much has changed, Ger. You know, we've kind of kept things similar, kept the same routines and stuff, and they're working, so we'll keep going with them.
Boy, are they working. And you mentioned there the support that you've gotten. Whatever about your management team and your backroom team and everybody in O'Donovan Rossa LGFA who've been supporting you behind the scenes. Was it immediately obvious to the last against Gartaglen, the size of the crowd and the atmosphere that was generated, or were you just too much into the game? Could you not appreciate it until afterwards?
Yeah, I suppose when you're in the game, you know, it's hard to take in the crowd and, you know, notice how many people are there. But it was definitely obvious when we were playing, you know, the crowd really got behind us. If we got a score, if we got a tackle, if we got a turnover, it was just huge support and huge noise from the hill. So it was absolutely incredible. And it's what drives you on as well. You know, when you hear your home support cheering you on, you just keep going and keep trying.
Yeah, I wish we saw more of it. We are seeing a bit of it year by year in ladies football in the LGFA. Bigger crowds, certainly in all the county finals as well this year. And it is fantastic. And I was there the last against Gartaglen and you could feel the atmosphere and it was fantastic. But you're through to a final. Nothing is won yet. I'd imagine that training and the intensity would have stepped up this week, Trina, ahead of the Munster final. But has it been a case of just doing the same things again coming into that game with St. Albans from Limerick?
Yeah, so we were training last night and it was great to get back to training, and, you know, everyone was just excited to be back training. I think that was the main thing. You know, we love training so much, but it's a case of if we don't win the next match, we won't be back training. That's kind of what we've said since the last few championship games. And obviously, yeah, we've kept the intensity up at training and looking forward to Sunday now.
Indeed. Before I let you go, have you had time, Trina, you and the players, to sit down and realise that next year, 2025, for the first time in O'Donovan Ross LGFA's history, you will be a senior club. You will be competing in the senior championship. There's three clubs up there from West Cork already. You are now the fourth. Clonakilty, Kinsale, and your old rivals, Castlehaven. Have you had a chance to think about that? And is it something that you're looking forward to? Or are you just fully focused on the job in front of you right now?
Yeah, I suppose we haven't really thought about it yet. You know, obviously after winning, beating Naver Bon in the county final, we knew that we were going up senior, and it's absolutely incredible for, I suppose, a club that has come from, you know, Junior D. We haven't been long set up, that to be playing now senior, it's absolutely amazing. And it's like stuff of dreams, really. It's what everyone wants to be playing. When you start out, you want to be up playing senior football, and we've reached it now, which is absolutely incredible. But I don't think we've really dwelled on it. We haven't really thought about it much, but it will be absolutely amazing to be playing against the best teams in the county. And there's so many West Cork teams as well, which is great to see, and it'll be great to be back playing those teams again.
It certainly will. I can't wait. Listen, on Sunday, the AIB Munster LGFA Intermediate Championship Final takes place in Mallow. Throne is at 1 p.m. St. Albans from Limerick taking on the Cork County Intermediate Champions and last year's All-Ireland Junior A Champions, O'Donovan Rossa, vice-captain of that team, Trina Murphy. Thank you very much for joining us on the Big Red Bench, and we wish you all the best.
Thanks very much, Jeff.
Yep, all the best to them. Earlier today, Munger St. Paul's defeated Middleton in the AIB Munster LGFA Junior A final on a scoreline of 7-5. Nearly a soccer score there. Joe McCarthy caught up with Middleton manager Paddy Corcoran.
Paddy Corcoran, obviously, look, disappointment to lose a Munster final, but this team has come so far. I mean, when you take a step back, can you appreciate that, even though a few minutes after the final whistle?
I sure, it was only about 4 or 5 years ago. We'd only about 7 or 8 girls below training, whatever, like, and we got a few lads involved there, and the next thing, the girls are turning up. But about the last 2 years, this team really, the last 3 years really, which is to keep girls have really grown into the team, like. Girls have come back. We've lost a few players. They'll be back next year. There's a few more going from here next year, whatever. So every team brings a new dynamic every year. But this team, I've been with them now since they're under 10, I'd say. A lot of them anyway. And the enjoyment over the years they're giving us is unbelievable. And look, we'll come back again. We'll come back again. It's disappointing for us. But then, as I say, it was great to get here as well.
Yeah.
You know, so our goal this year was get to the county final and win that. And we achieved our goal this year. So next year will bring new goals and new challenges, and we'll still go out and celebrate tonight, because I think the girls deserve that. And
It was a low scoring final. That was the only thing. Another day you might have nicked it.
A low scoring game. I suppose we probably playing the Munger's heads a bit. Like, we knew if we took the ball into the challenges, whatever, to be they'd win the battle with a strong physical team, and that's, we kind of played into the hands of the ball a bit that way. But I credit our girls. They gave things didn't go away, but everyone gave 110%. Into the field, and that's all you can ask for.
And just finally, look, you're an intermediate team next year. There's an awful lot to look forward to with this group of players.
Oh yeah, so there's new challenges and new things again next year. So we'll enjoy tonight now again, even though we lost, but we'll still enjoy it. And we'll regroup and we'll get organised again for next year. But I think we have a few more games in these cocktails to play yet. But we'll get over tonight first anyway.
Good luck getting over tonight. We'll talk to you again soon, buddy.
All right, Joe, appreciate it. Thanks very much, Mike. Great small.
Yeah, disappointing day today for Cork LGFA's. Clonakilty lost their Senior B final to Ballincarbery of Waterford in a tight game, which finished in extra time, 13-2-10. Here's your speaking to David Ahern, the Clonakilty manager.
All right, David, not the result Clonakilty wanted, but what an effort and what a performance you put in to take on one of the best teams, not just in Waterford, but in Munster, coming up short in the end in extra time.
Yeah, we felt that we left the game behind us. I thought we had the game there for the winning at the end of normal time, but we just didn't take our chances, unfortunately. Now, besides that, I can't fault the girls one single bit. They've been incredible, not just today, but all throughout the year. Their attitude, their commitment, everything. I can't ask any more from them, and it's been an incredible 12 months. We started back in January, made 5 finals. I really can't ask any more than that.
Yeah, and you were depleted as well today. I know they were as well, but like a lot of young players on that bench, a lot of players absent, but it does bode well for the future. If you get a few of those players back and go again next year on the back of what you've done, you have a real chance of making an impact yet again in senior next year.
Definitely, yeah. We hope that the girls who are gone abroad can make it back next year maybe. We have a very young squad overall, a lot of girls in their first year senior this year, and they really stepped up to the plate.
It's a difficult one, I know, and it's hard to put it all into term, put it into words at the moment, David. I can appreciate that. But one of the things about this Clan team, they never go away, and even in extra time today, when that killer goal, the second goal laid on, that was the only difference really in the end.
Yeah, we had no choice really but to push up on them, and that, I suppose, that left space in behind, which Ballymacarbery, a very experienced side, they exploited to the full. But we had to go for it at that stage. We just threw everything at it. It wasn't to beat today, but you know, we're not happy with this moral victory at all. We came up here today fully expecting to win. We were extremely confident that we were going to win today, and we very nearly did.
Listen, thanks very much for all your help this year. Look, we'll talk to you again soon, man.
Thanks very much, sir.
And lastly, you're caught up with Clonakilty player Martine O'Brien.
Martine O'Brien, obvious disappointment and heartbreak for Clonakilty, pushing club of Ballymacarbery's stature all the way in extra time. Disappointment not to come away with the trophy, but there was a lot of young players out on that pitch today, and the experience of today, how important is it going into next year?
Look, hugely disappointed, because I think we were coming into the game and like Ballymacarbery are a quality side, loads of inter-county Waterford players, and look, I suppose 42 titles in a row tells you that as well in Waterford. But for us, like, we were confident enough that we could could put it up to them. And like, I think we showed ourselves today and our supporters and everyone that we can mix it up with the best. Like, I suppose the one thing that we just need is a bit more time. We have so many young girls. Our youngest are 16, 17, 18. Our average age is 20. Like, the next players up are probably 27, and then there's two of us about 30. So like, our average age is very young, and we just, they still stand to us, but we just, it's utterly disappointing, to be honest. But look, there's something to work on, and we know that. So that's what we want to kind of build on for next year, is like, obviously we want to be in the A section. Like, geez, we were so delighted to win the B today, this year, and that's a real great testament to the girls and their work rate. But we want to be pushing higher, and I suppose it just goes back to the drawing board, and hopefully we can take it a step up. But look, just hugely disappointed today, but hugely proud of the girls and the effort to give.
Yeah, let's take a step back. I know it's very difficult in Raw immediately after the final whistle, but the year you've had, considering the players that you brought through the final, like winning the Senior B and the way you did it, beating Castlehaven, beating Kinsale, you earned it. And you earned a shot at Munster final today. It wasn't to be, but those are the kind of experiences that you'll grow up on for next year.
Oh, absolutely. And like, look at the players there that we, I suppose, no one would have known their names outside of Clonakilty. Like, Siobhan Callan was absolutely unbelievable today. Maeve O'Donovan, all our backs, Niamh Kennedy, Niamh Desmond Collins, Ruth. Like, I mean, those girls have been so good. The average age of those is actually 20. They're all under 20, by Niamh Kennedy or Niamh Desmond Collins, and that bodes well for the future. But those girls are our players now. Like, they've stepped up, and like, they've only needed a year, and they're showing us what to do, the older girls, and then pushing on. Like, look at the likes of Millie Condon. I mean, she's just sublime, everything she does. Like, she will not let you alone. And then look, as you go forward, then we have class up front. Katie Sinead O'Donnell had a stormer again today. Kai O'Mahony comes on and she just gives it her all. And look, Aoife O'Flynn Mead, quiet girl, but she can play football. And like, to all the other girls that are daily there, we had Clodagh coming on. Look, we have the youth, but we just need to mould it together. I suppose that crowd of young girls have won a lot of things in underage, and we just really hope that they can kind of show the way forward next year.
Well, look forward to seeing you again next year, and thanks for everything this year as well.
Thanks, sir.
The ref's whistle has gone for fun time here on the Big Red Bench. Cork Squad Times Red FM, Dan Casey signing off. But fear not, Marty Guilfoyle is on the way next.